Today's shir is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Beis. We will begin on Daf Samach Beis, Amud Aleph, 9 lines from the top, Meisre. In the previous Gemara, we learned the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that if somebody collected ribbis, obviously improperly, he's not obligated to return the ribbis that he collected illegally. Ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, Hinich lemavim marshal ribbis, if somebody's father passed away, the Yarshim were left with money that the father received through ribbis, after the Shiyodin Shein Shal ribbis, even though the Yarshim are aware that the father received that money as ribbis payment, like the Mefarshim explained, because we're referring to a situation where the father was heavily involved in lending money for ribbis, so it's quite certain that the money that he left over had ribbis payments in it. They have no obligation to return that money. There is a number of shailas that the Paiskim discuss around this Gemara. One shaila I saw the Paiskim discuss is what will happen if someone had a loan that he gave on ribbis, and the loiva took the malva to Bezdin. And the Bezdin told the malva, you shouldn't be collecting this ribbis. Is that in the same category that the children don't have to adhere to the Bezdin's psak? Because we're saying it's only the father's problem, not the children's problem. Or if once there was a Bezdin who paskined that they're obligated to give back this ribbis, then it's not just, then that money certainly they have to be returning. Question. Havien, it's mashma from this price. It's only the Yoshim that don't have to return the money. If the father were still alive, Chayiv Lachzer, he would have to return the money. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that you don't have to return ribbis money. And as the Rishonim point out, perhaps what the price means is that the father is supposed to return the money, Lotzes Yidei Shemayim, as we're going to explain, and we will learn again, is that even if Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the proper thing is to return the money, so maybe that's what the Braisa means. So Rishonim say what the Braisa meant was that he should do it, then the Braisa would not have used the word chayovim. The fact that the Braisa used the word chayovim seems to be an obligation, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is no such obligation. Answered Rabbi Yochanan, the Braisa isn't an issue. Because actually, the father would not have to return the money. However, the Sefer, the Braisa, teaches us that there is a case where they do have to return the money that the father received as ribbis, which is, if the father left over for the Yorshim a cow or a talis, the kol davar mesuyim, or any specific item that you could identify, the halacha is chayovim lahachzer. There they are obligated to return it. Not just the father, but even the children. But nekfar aviyem. So since in that case, the children, we speak about the children in the sefer, that's why tani nami reisha b'dedu. So we speak about the reisha, about the children, but actually the same din applies to the father and to the children. They don't have to return the ribbis. It's only kfar aviyem. Machlokes hapaiskim. How far does this obligation of Kvoid Avihem go? Some Paiskim say it's only by Ribbis Ktsutza, by Ribbis Daraisa, and we're going to spend a lot of time in the coming Dafim identifying what is Ribbis Daraisa and what is the Ribbis Darabanan. Others say, since the issue here is Kvoid Avihem, then it's not just Ribbis Ktsutza, it's even Ribbis Darabanan, Avak Ribbis, because we're worried about the honor of the father, they have to return it. Now, in understanding this Gemara, the Mishnah Melech points out that when the Gemara uses the word Kvoid Avihem, it doesn't mean covered. It means here it's a question of embarrassment to the father if he dies and people will say that he left a ribbis in his estate. And we'll explain that a little more also. Ask the Gemara, V'hani m'bnei Kvoid Avihem mi'mechayvi? Are these children obligated to show this respect to the father? V'ot krikan, shouldn't we apply here what the Torah says? V'nasi ba'amcha leisor ba'oisamasa amcha. When is there an obligation to show respect to a parent when the parent acts properly? Here the parent is obviously not acting properly. He's a person that took ribbis. And it says the Gemara, we are referring to a situation, the father did tshuva, and therefore he's not considered a rasha. How do we know that he did a tshuva? So the Mefarshim give a number of examples. We see that towards the end of his life, he refused to take ribbis. We see that he returned ribbis to other people who he took money from. Ask the Gemara, he asked tshuva, if he did tshuva, so how does he still have the ribbis? If he did tshuva, he should have given it back. So ask Taisus the obvious question. If we're saying that we're going according to Rabbi Yochanan, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're not legally obligated to return the ribbis, so why is holding on to the ribbis payment a contradiction to tshuva? He did tshuva, but he's not obligated to give back the ribbis. So the first Taisus gives, and I mentioned this earlier, is that even Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that you're not obligated to give back the ribbis, Lot says he day shemayim, you should give back the ribbis. So if the father was a true Baal Tshuva, why didn't he give it back? Lot says he day shemayim. That's one Teretz Taisva says. The other Teretz Taisva says, and it fits perfectly with the Mishnah Lamelech I quoted a moment ago, is that, correct, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, you don't have to give back the ribbis. And therefore, it is theoretically possible to be a Baal Tshuva without giving back the ribbis. The issue, however, here is, if that is indeed what happened, since, as the Mishnah Lamelech taught us, the entire concern here is Kloin Aviyam, that the father should not be embarrassed. If the father didn't care, and he didn't feel the need to give back the ribbis, even though he did Tshuva, then the children don't have to be any more than the father. So the Gemara's question is, according to that Teretz, if we combine Taisus and the Mishnah Lamelech, yes, the father did tshuva. And yes, the halach is you don't have to give back the ribbis. And therefore, the father could do tshuva without giving back the ribbis. But then why do the children have any more obligation than the father had? Answers the Gemara, the case is referring, Shalai Hispik Lachsa Hashemes. The father wanted to give back, but he passed away before he could have the opportunity to give it back. And therefore, the children who should be, and since the ribbis is something that we can identify that the estate received as a ribbis payment, so the children, out of respect to the father, should return it. So ask the Gemara another question. Meisay, another b'risa. The b'risa says, Hagazlonim umalvi b'ribbis, a gazlon or somebody who lends money on ribbis, afabi shagava maksirim. So before we go further, ask the Gemara, the b'risa's wording is difficult. Gazlonim, what does it mean that a gazlan, even though he collected? What does that mean, asked the Gemara? E gazl, if the gazlan actually stole an item, gazl, so he stole it. E loy gazl, if he didn't steal, gazlinim krisalei, why are you calling him a gazlan? Ela ema, the way to understand it, gazlonim maininu, which type of gazlan are we referring to? Mavu beribis. That the Bryce is calling somebody who lends money on ribis as a gazlan. And the Braisa says that apishagavu, if somebody improperly collected a ribbis payment, the loch is nachzirin. He has to return it. So isn't this Braisa a clear proof that you do have to return ribbis payments? Says the Gemara, Tanaihi. Rabbi Yochanan will agree that this issue, if you have to return a ribbis payment, is a subject of a machloikas tanoam, and this Braisa reflects the opinion of the Tanoim that hold that you do have to give back. He doesn't, however, follow that opinion. The Tanya, where do we find that this is actually a subject of a machlokes Tanoim? Another Bryce. The Bryce says, Rabbi Nechemi, Rabbi Lezer, Ben Yaakov, Poitrin, as a Malva, this Arif, they say that Malva or an Arif, Malva is the person who lent the money, and the Arif is the guarantor, they're not going to get Malkus for lending money on Ribbis, because they could correct their Aveira. How could they correct their Aveira? Because they could give back the Ribbis payment. Now, before we go further, the Malva being able to give back the Ribbis payment is very easy. Get back what you got illegally. However, the Arev, the guarantor, how does he get back? Well, he didn't get a payment. And there are factory shinim, because of this question, that take out Arev from this Brisa. Doesn't make any sense how we put Arev into the Brisa. There are, however, Rishonim that keep Arev into the Brisa, and they explain it in the following way. We know there's something called an Arev Kablan. An Arev Kablan is a situation where if I'm a guarantor to a loan, if I'm an Arev Kablan, the Malva could come to me even before going to the Loiva. Normally, when do you go to the Arev, to the guarantor? If the Loiva is unable to pay, you go to the Arev. Arev Kablan, I could be the first address. So let's say somebody lent money on Ribbis. And now he goes to the Arev Kablan. He says, pay. So the Arev Kablan will pay. Now what will the Arev Kablan turn around and do? He'll go back to the Loiva and say, you know, I laid out money for you. And I laid out not only the principal, but I also laid out interest. And you have to pay back to me. So now the Arev is really a Malva. After he pays up the Loiva's debt, he becomes a Malva for the Loiva, and now he has an opportunity not to collect the Ribbis payment. That's why the Arev is in the same category as the Malva. So what the Gemara is saying is that the Malva, and as we just explained, the Arev, since they have the opportunity to give back what they illegally received, they're not they won't get Malvas. Because any Lav, Hanitik Lasei, that could be corrected by giving back, is not considered a Lav that you get Malkus for. There is a discussion amongst the Paiskim, the Chassam Sofer, amongst the Paiskim, the Chassam Sofer has a long discussion. Pnei Yeshua discusses this. The Malva was saying could give back, and therefore he's not subject to Malkus. The Arev, we say, could give back, and therefore he's not subject to Malkus. What will be the din of the Loiva? The Loiva can't give back. He's no longer in control. Is he going to still get Malkus? That means it'll be an interesting situation. The Malva who collected the Ribbis won't get Malkus. And the Loiva who paid the Ribbis, and bad enough that he had to pay the Ribbis, will still get Malkus. That's one approach that the Chronim suggest. Others suggest that once, the Mechaschinich also discusses this, once the Malva is not going to get Malkus, then the Arev, then the Loiva also can't get Malkus. The Chassam Sofer seems to make a pshara, a compromise. He says the Malva, if he returns the ribbis he received illegally, according to Rabbi Chaim Yerub Elazar, will not get Malkus and will have retroactively not even have done an Aveira. The Loiva, Malkus we can't give him because it doesn't make sense to give the Loiva Malkus and not the Malva, but the Aveira he already violated. Now let's go back to the Brice, to our sugya. My Kumase, the Brice says the Malva could correct it. Lamashum Daminalu, Kumahadru. Because we tell the Malva, you have to give back the Ribbis, and by giving back the Ribbis, you've undone the Aveira. That's the opinion of Nechemiah and Rabbi Elazar. Michlal, obviously, what is the Tanya Kama's opinion? That the Malva does get Malkus, because returning it doesn't change the fact that you collected and you did the Aveira. And returning is not an obligation with a Raisa. So you got the Aveira. You want to return it, return it, but the Aveira has been done. So, Michlal, the Tanya Kama Sover, Labadei Nur Nunu. So it turns out that the machloikis of the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Elazar boils down to the machloikis, do you have to return ribbis or not? Where the Tanna Kamma says, you do, you don't, and that's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, and Menachem and Rabbi Elazar say, you don't. So it's the Gemara Loi. That's not what the Braisa means. What the Braisa means is, kumasei, how could this be corrected? It could be corrected by lekroy shtara. You could rip up the shtar with the ribbis. In other words, it could well be, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, it could well be that everybody agrees that there is no chiv deraisa to give back the ribbis. And therefore, as soon as the malva collects the ribbis, that's it. So what does the Braisa say that according to Nechemiah and Belezer, ribbis, at least from the malva's perspective, is a fixable situation? You could fix it by ripping up the shtar before you collected it. So I asked the Gemara, so now let's understand the machlokes of the Tanna Kamma versus the Rebbe Nechemiah Rebbe Elazar. My kesover, what will they hold? I kesover, if we hold shtar oim aligvus kegavi dami, that once the shtar has been signed, sealed, and delivered, it's as if the money's been collected. So what's the difference if you did collect the money or you didn't collect the money? Shtar oim aligvus kegavi dami, havar asurayu. If, on the other hand, lafki gavur dami, that just because it was written the shtar doesn't really mean anything, nothing happened here. And as the Rishonim explained, maybe we should say that the machloikis between the Tanakhama and the Chemir Belezer is this very subject, if shtar oimer livus kagavi dami or not, with the Tanakhama holding shtar oimer livus kagavi dami and the Chemir Belezer holding that. So Rishonim say it's difficult to want to say that that's the machloikis, because Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel already have a machloikis over the subject of shtar oimer livus kagavi dami, and it's hard to assume that other Tanoim repeated that machloikis. Says the Gemara, lo'olam, everybody's going to hold shtar oimer livus kagavi dami. So what is the machloikis about? The shuma milsehi. If agreeing to pay ribis, it wasn't put into a shtar, there was just agreement between the malva and the loiva, is that considered an avera? And that's the machloikis between Rav Nechemya and Rav Elazar versus Tanakama. According to the Tanakama, once there was an agreement to pay the ribis, so the avera has been done. According to Rav Nechemya and Rav Elazar, since it could be fixed by not collecting it, it's not considered that the Avera was done. And says the Gemara, Hakanam Mustabra, that the Avera is participating in an act where there's an agreement to pay ribis, because there's a Mishnah. We're going to learn later in our parak. Ela Ovrim Belois say, the following parties are over a lav if they participate in a transaction that involves ribis. Hamalva Haloiva, Ha'orv Ve'edim. Ask the Gemara. We could certainly understand the malva and the loiva being over an avera, the malva collecting, the orev paying. The loiva paying, and the orev, as we explained earlier in the shir, how he becomes an active participant with the ribis. Just because they signed the shtar that had in it a ribis clause, an interest clause, what's their avera? Elalav. The actual participating in a transaction that has ribis in it is the Avera. And if the Edom were there, they participated by being there. That's what the issue is. So according to most Rishonim, even certainly according to Rashi, what the Gemara now is switching. The Gemara is saying now everybody could actually agree with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that you're not obligated to pay back the ribis if you improperly collected it. And the machlokes there is about shuma milsa. Tysus finds that approach somewhat difficult, because Tysus says it's interesting if that's shot in the Gemara. The Gemara says the Gemara began by quoting this brisa as a problem with Rabbi Yochanan. So he said that Rabbi Yochanan follows the opinion of Tanakama. And now we end up saying that both Tanam, we take a total turn, and we say that both Tanam agree with Rabbi Yochanan. To go from one extreme, how we don't understand how the Braisa could coexist with Rabbi Yochanan, to end up with saying that everybody agrees with Rabbi Yochanan, is usually not the derech of the Gemara. And therefore, Tysus explains that the way to understand the Maskana is that everybody agrees with Rabbi Lozer. That if the Malva collected the ribis, he's supposed to return it. But that's not the issue of the machloikis between the Tanakhama and the Chemin Rabbi Lozer. The machloikis is about Shuma Milsa. That's machloikis Rashi and Tysus, how to learn the Gemara. Omer Rav Safra. So Rav Safra makes the following rule. Says the following rule. Kol she'ila b'neim might seem miloiva l'malva. Any situation where the non-Jewish court would enforce a ribis clause, b'dineim machzir m'malva l'loiva. In such a situation, the malva, if he collected ribis, would have to return it. Kol she'ila b'neim ain might seem miloiva l'malva. Any situation where the non-Jewish court would not get involved to that degree and make the loiva pay his interest responsibilities, b'dineinu ein machzir m'malva loiva, we will not make the malva pay back. That means Rav Safra is passing like Rabbi Lozer, that ribis that's collected has to be returned from the malva to the loiva, but he's limiting it to this rule. If the non-Jewish court would enforce the ribis payment, then you have to return, otherwise not. So the Evan Ozel, Rabbi Zalman, asked the obvious question. We need to bring a raya from the non-Jewish court to know what the halach is? Where do we find that? Torah is our rules. We don't use the non-Jewish court as our guide. So Davin Ozel explains the Gemara very nicely. He says as follows. Again, as is going to become obvious as we learn this piece of Gemara, the halacha of that you have to return, that the malva has to return ribis, is in a situation of ribis deraisa, ribis ktsutsa, as it's called. What does that mean? What ribis ktsutsa, ribis deraisa means is that the loiva took on a full-fledged obligation to pay the ribis. If it's not a full-fledged obligation to pay it, then it's really not ribis deraisa. And that's really the primary subject of this parak, of identifying what is ribis deraisa and what is ribis derabanan. So if we want to know, what was there a full-fledged obligation from the loiva, and therefore I have a situation of ribis deraisa, or there wasn't such a serious obligation, and therefore I don't have ribis deraisa, and therefore the malva doesn't have to return it, how do I identify it? We look at the non-Jewish court. If the non-Jewish court views this as a full-fledged obligation, it's obvious that it's ribis deraisa. And if not, it's not obvious that it's a deraisa. Ask the Gemara, Amrei Abayla Rabbi Yosef, is this a hard and fast rule? The klolahu, very sabasah. Sabasah, we know, is the halach is as follows. There's a lot of exceptions to the rule as we get into the parak. But if we learn it very simply, if I borrow from you, we're not going to talk about two neighbors, because there it's probably mutter. If I borrow from you a truckload of sugar, I don't have to return, I'm not allowed to return to you a truckload of sugar. That's called sabasah. Why? Because there are price fluctuations. And maybe when I bought from you the truckload of sugar is worth $1,000, and when I return it, the price of sugar goes up, and it's worth $1,500. So I gave you ribis. Now that's ribis derabanan. Because ribis deraisa is only when it's for certain that I'm going to pay you more than what I got. Here it's not certain that I'm going to pay you more than I got. Maybe the price of sugar won't go up. Maybe the price of sugar is going to go down. Furthermore, ribis deraisa is only when the rate has been identified. We don't know what the price fluctuation is going to be. So it's ribis derabanan. Everybody, as I said, agrees that by ribis derabanan you don't have to give back. The malva doesn't have to be given back. Yet, if I borrowed from you a truckload of sugar, and now I don't want to return it, certainly you could take me to court and demand that I pay. The name might see in Meloiva Lamalva. The court will make me give you back the truckload of sugar. However, as I just explained, since this is only ribis derabanan, ubidinenu ein achzirin mimalva leloiva. So how can we say that this rule is correct? Amalei, so he responded, inu b'taris p'kadnos liyadei. That is not to be viewed as a situation of a loan. When Rav Safra said his rule, he was speaking about loans. When I borrow from you a truckload of sugar, it's a pekodin. It's an interesting type of pekodin, because all the cases of pekodin that we learned in our Masechta is I'm not allowed to use the pekodin. Here it's a pekodin that I have that I'm allowed to use, but it shouldn't be viewed as a loan. Ask the Gemara a different question. Amalei Ravina LeRavashi, Vrei Meshkanta B'loin Nechnaisa. Meshkanta B'loin Nechyaisa means the following case. I lent you money, and you gave me your property, your field, as security. And I took the fruit from the field. Now the halacha is that if I keep that fruit and you pay me back, it turns out I got ribis, the fruit, on top of the repayment. But it's only ribis derabanan. Why is it only the ribis derabanan? There are two reasons given by the Rishonim. Rashi here says, because it's not for sure that the field's going to give fruit. Rashi elsewhere says that, again, going back to what I said a moment ago, to be ribis deraisa, it has to be a situation where the rate has been identified, 5%, 10%, whatever the interest rate. We don't know how much fruit the field would produce that we could consider a specific rate. So actually, the Mefarshim say there's a nafkamina between these two pshatim of why it's not ribis deraisa. Because what will be, you didn't give me a field that produces produce as the security, you gave me a house. So if the pshat is like Rashi says here, maybe the field won't produce anything, a house for sure you can live in. So that reason doesn't apply. But if the issue is because it's not an established rate, this is also not an established rate, that the halacha is that if you lent me money and he gave me the feel of security, certainly the non-Jewish court would get involved and make the malva return the value of the fruit that he ate. The bedinayim might see in milayvul malva, or bedinayim emach see in malva loyvul, because it's not witness the raisa. Amru, again, that's not a question, because inu b'taris vinos lo yadayu. That is not to be viewed as a loan; it's to be viewed as a sale. And you sold me the fruit. And I have to pay you back for the fruit. It's not directly related to the actual loan. So ask the Gemara, if every time we're going to come up with a case, you're going to say it's not what Rav Safra means. So what did Rav Safra mean? A kosh ilu by the name the comer of Safra, my ashlashminin. Where did Rav Safra come to teach us? Answers the Gemara, hachashlashminin. What Rav Safra meant was the following situation. Kosh ilu by the name metzin milayva lamava, any situation where the loiva would have to pay the malva, but the neimu, Besdin, will require machzir malva loiva, that the malva has to pay back that payment. Mind you, what are we referring to? Ribbis Ktsutsa. Ribbis Ktsutsa is, as I said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, is certainly enforceable in non-Jewish court, but the Rice Rasafra is passing like Rebbe Lazar that you have to return it. Or Rebbe Lazar. Kosher elu b'dineyem. Anything that the non-Jewish court will not make the loiva pay the malva, but we will make the malva give that back to the loiva. What does that refer to? Rivis mukdamus rivis mucheres. We're going to spend a lot of time later in the perek explaining what rivis mukdamus rivis mucheres is. Suffice it to say, it means as follows. For this sheer. Ribis Mukdemis says, I want to borrow money from you. So I want to soften you up. So I give you gift before that you should be agreeable to lend me money. Ribis Mucheris is that I borrowed money from you. I didn't pay any ribis. But now, after I pay you back what I owed you, now I give you a present or I give you a payment because you lent me money. Now, both of those are not ribis Daraisa, but they are ribis Darabonim. That's a case where the non-Jewish court will not enforce that obligation, because as I said earlier, it's not a real full-fledged obligation from the loiva to the malva. And it's also a situation that if the malva were to receive it, even according to the opinion of Rebbe Lazar, he would not have to return it. Let's quickly go back to our Mishnah on the Samach Amibayis. The Mishnah wanted to explain that the Torah teaches us that you know how to take tarbis. What is tarbis? Ezu tarbis, the Mishnah asks. So the Mishnah said, Hamabim Peris. And let's learn the Mishnah together. Ketzat. Lokchimenu chitim bedina zov akor. Vekein ashar. I bought from you a kor worth of chitim. The chitim are worth 25 silver dinar. One dinar zov has been a 25 silver dinar for a kor. On the chitin belamadinim, I brought from you the chitin at that price, and then the value of chitin go up. So it's the best time for me to take delivery of the chitin, because I could sell something that I bought for $25 for $30. Amrei, tell me chitin shani neitzel machram. I deal in commodities. I want to buy those chitin. I want to take delivery of those chitin, which I already earned money, but I want to keep on trading. Because right now the price of wine is low, and I want to buy with those chitin wine, so that I should be able to hold on to the wine and wait for the wine's value to go up. So you tell me, I owe you $30 worth of chitin. I owe you $30 of wine. However, you don't have any wine. This is the case that the halacha is that's considered tarbis, and it's not permitted. Now let's learn the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, why does it make a difference? Why does it make a difference if you have wine or you don't have wine? For Tanya, we're going to learn a sugya. Ein paiskim al peris achiyetza ashar. The halacha is like this. There are people that want to lock in to a price. So at the beginning of the season, I go to you and I say, I'm going to buy from you a certain amount of a commodity, apples, chitin, wine, whatever commodity, and you don't have that item currently. So the halacha is, I can't enter into such a forward contract. That's what's called paiskin al peiros. It means a forward contract. Unless the price is established. Once the price has been established, yotza shar, once we have a situation where the price has been established, paiskin, then we can enter into this contract. Even if you don't physically own any of the commodity I'm buying from you. Because the reason is that since you could get hold of that much, let's say I'm buying from you chitin. So even though you don't have chitin, if I come to you and I say, I'm contracting with you, let's say a pound of chitin is $25. I enter into an agreement with you that I'm buying a pound of chitim for $25, even though if you don't physically own the chitim, it doesn't make a difference, because it's an established price, and if you need to get the chitim, you'll get it. So now the Gemara's question is, why in our Gemara is the fact that you don't have the wine an issue, going back to our Mishnah that I just read, it, as long as the price of wine has been established, it should be good enough. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rabbi makes the following distinction. He says, there's enough demeanor if I come to you with money. And I say, I want to buy from you wine. I want to buy from you chitim. I want to buy from you any commodity. As long as I just said, quoting the Mishnah, the price of that commodity has been established, and I give you that much money, then it's fine. Because you could get that a commodity. Here, I'm not paying you with cash. I'm paying you with a debt. You owe me chitin, and we're transferring that debt into wine. That looks like ribbis already. Because I started off with $25 and then went up to $30. That the Mishnah doesn't allow. Uketanya, and actually Rabbi says, the Braisa supports that distinction. The Braisa speaks about the following situation. You owe me $100. So I come to your warehouse, family, tell me, you owe me $100, I want my money. And we have a good relationship. And I tell you, why do I want my money? I want to buy chitim with that money. Now's a good time to buy chitim. Chitim alo. Anyway, chitim yeshli, shad noisen lach. I have chitim. Why do you have to go take the money and buy chitim elsewhere? I have chitim. Seva selai, kshashl achshav. Go. Let's figure out, I owe you $100, let's figure out how much chitin you could get for $100. I will owe you that much chitin, and I'll give you that chitin, I'll deliver to you chitin every month, a portion of what you owe, I owe you. Awesome. It's not mutter, it's also to do this. Why? Here we have a situation where the price is established. Here we have a situation where yeshloi, you actually even have the chitin. And yet we said it's aser. The previous Mishnah, we quoted a Mishnah, that says you don't even have to have it. As long as the price is established, it's good enough. So how do we reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa? The answer is, in the Mishnah I came to you with money. So even though you don't even have the commodity, it doesn't make a difference. Here I'm not coming to you with money, I'm coming to you with a debt. That you owe me money, and we want to transfer that debt onto a forward contract. That you can't do. The lav kisra balu yadudami. I'm not giving you money. And that's what the Mishnah is referring to. Ask the Gemara if that's pshat, that the problem here is, because it's a debt, and it's not cash that I'm giving you. If the issue here is that I'm transferring a debt versus giving you cash, so why did the Mishnah have to refer to situation as we read at the end of the Mishnah? That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. That you don't have wine. Doesn't make a difference if you have the wine or you don't have the wine. Even if you have the wine, it shouldn't make a difference. The fact that I'm not giving you cash, that I'm only transferring a debt into a forward contract is the issue. So why did the Mishnah have to go out of the way to say that we're referring to a situation that you don't have the wine? So therefore, Abai is going to give us a different explanation of the Mishnah. And the Ramban, as we get into this explanation, makes a very interesting observation. He says, Abai is going to give us a pshat in the Mishnah which hopefully Be'ezer Hashem, still in today's shir, the Gemara is going to completely refute with a number of questions. So says the Ramban, even though Abaye's explanation is clearly not the pshat in our Mishnah, the halacha that Abaye says is the halacha. And it becomes very important for us to know this halacha, not because it's the pshat in the Mishnah, because it's the halacha that we need to know that this is the halacha l'maisa. What is the case? Elam Abaye, Masnitzke the Tani Rav Safra, it's a case that Rav Safra taught, but Ribbis the Be'er Rav Chiya. In the Brises that they taught in Rav Chiya's yeshiva regarding the subject of Ribbis. The Tani Rav Safra, Ribbis the Be'er Rav Chiya. Yesh Dvarim Shemutarim, there are things that are technically mutter, they're not considered Ribbis, the Surim Ne Haramis Ribbis. But they're also because of Haramis Ribbis. What does that mean? Ketzad. Amaloi Haveni Mana. If I say to you, could you lend me $100? Amri, so you tell me mana ainli. I don't have $100. Chitin the mana yeshli. But I have chitin that are worth $100 that I can lend you. Shani nasanach. So nasanach chitin. So you gave me $100 worth of chitin. I asked you to borrow, I want to borrow money. You lent me $100 worth of, I want to borrow $100. You lent me, instead of money, you lent me $100 of chitin. Now, I really need cash. So the chaz of Allah and of Esmer Abbasalam. I go and I sell back those chitin to you for $90. The halacha is, technically it's mutter. However, the also lasses came, you're not allowed to do this, no ribbis. Because it looks like ribbis that you lent me $100 and you're getting back the chitin for less. You gave me $100 worth of chitin and you're getting the chitin back at a better rate. That's the case Abaye refers to. And that's what Abaye says is the case of our Mishnah. That means, I sold you back the chitin at a better rate because I wanted cash. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, why is this mutter? Rav Shlomo Zalman says, the reason this is mutter is because I'm strapped for cash. And whenever somebody sells something because he's strapped for cash, you can't call that ribbis. In fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to suggest that this may be a legal way under certain circumstances of circumventing a ribbis issue if you don't want to go into a heteriska, which we'll talk about later in the parak. Now, the Rishonim give a number of conditions that make a mutter or asa. Certainly, if this was a ruse, that means I said to you, lend me $100 worth of chitim, and then I sell it to you back at a better rate, and we made this up before, everybody would agree that that's mamish ribbis. On the other hand, let's say the price of ribbis actually dropped. The price of chitin actually dropped. That when you lent me the chitin, they were worth $100 a pound. And then when I sold it back to you, it was truly worth $90 a pound. The price can say that would be mutter. There's nothing wrong. You bought it at the market price. The value of the flour changed. Here we're referring to a situation where the market did not change. And I'm only selling to you at a better rate because I'm strapped for the cash. Also say the price can. Then let's say we brought a third party in. It's not just you and me, the loiv and the malva. But we bring a third party who I sell that flour to at a better rate. And then he sells it to you at the better rate. So it's not directly from the malva, the loiv. Since as I've been explaining, we don't really have a situation of ribbis deraisa. The Gemara says it's only haramis ribbis. So it's not directly the loiv and the malva. The price can say that would be mutter. Then there's one more rule. Machloikus, we show him over this. What happens if it doesn't happen immediately? It's not like I come to you, I want to borrow $100. Let's say I'll give you $100 worth of wheat, and then I sell it back to you at $90 at a different rate. But there's a time lapse in between. That means, let me be clear what I'm saying. There is no change. There is no price change. But there was a time lapse between when the actual halvah took place and me selling you back the chitin. So it doesn't look like ribbis, because it didn't happen immediate. Will it still be considered haramis ribbis or not? Machlokes Rishonim, if that's considered haramis ribbis. And that, says Abaye, is the situation of our Mishnah. Hachinami, what is the case of our Mishnah? Ki going to Amalei Alveini Shloshim Denorim. I turn around to you and I say, could you please lend to me Shloshim Denorim? Amalei Shloshim Denorim Ainli. I don't have the shloshim denarim. However, chitin b'shloshim denarim yeshli. I have chitim that are worth shloshim dinarim, shem nisim lach, that I'm willing to give you. And nasim loy chitim b'shloshim dinarim, and you give me back shloshim dinarim, you lend me the shloshim dinarim, v'chaz v'lochem ma'am b'din is off, you lent me the wheat at the rate of $30 a pound, and I sell it back to you because I want cash at the rate of $25 a pound. Says the Gemara, if I don't give you back kish, I give you back wine, the yavle b'shloshim dinarim, peru the koshak manei v'leslamba. V'loy, kiven the lesle chamra, v'edesh mishkol zuzimenei machsikribis. I said a mouthful. What this means is as follows. Again, we have to remember, this is not a situation of real ribis. It's only haramis ribis. So says the Gemara, Bai said that this is what the Mishnah is saying. It's not really what the Mishnah is saying, l'maskana, but it is the halacha. There's a nafkamina if I give you cash, or if cash is given to me, or you give me wine. Again, let's understand what happened. I needed to borrow $30. A pound of flour sold for $30. You give me a pound of flour. I now sell you that pound of flour, but I only request $25. Again, because I'm strapped for cash. But I need money. I don't need flour. So the halacha is as follows. If you're going to give me back $25, that looks like ribbis. Because I got from you something at $30 rate, and I got back $25. But on the other hand, if you don't give me back money, you give me back wine. So anyway, since we're not talking about ribbis deraisa, we're only talking about aromas ribbis, and it doesn't look like ribbis because it's wine and flour, and who really knows the rate of wine and the rate of flour, that's mutter. And that is what Abayah says, is the Mishnah is referring to. Now we could understand what the Mishnah says. Yesh la yayin, or ein la yayin, does it not mean if you have wine and you give me wine, which is mutter, or ein la yayin, you don't have wine, you give me money, which is awesome. Amalei Rava, ask Rava, Yachi tenli chiti, I didn't ask for wheat from you. I'm giving you the wheat, and I'm asking for the mechit to be ba'ilei. But the Mishnah says ten lichiti. So it says, Rav Tani, change the wording tomorrow. The mechiti. Yachi ten lichiti, the mechit to be ba'ilei. So tomorrow, Tani, change the wording of the Mishnah. The mechiti. Shani makram. What does it say, Shani makram? Shemechatan loch me ba'ilei. That I'm selling to you. So tomorrow, Tani, shemechatan loch. Ask tomorrow another question. Harechita chasui rabishlosh and demarim, nami hochet kum ne'lei. I didn't sell to you at the rate of $30 a pound. I'm selling to you at the cheaper rate of $25 a pound. Hach kamalai. But the mechita shasitzla b'shloshim, what I got from you at the rate of $30 a pound, harei lecha etzli b'hen yayin v'yayin enloi. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, v'dinim azor konav v'ken ashaktani. The Mishnah says that I am selling to you at the real rate. In other words, again, what is a buyer's case? That I'm giving you a discount in order to get cash. But the Mishnah doesn't say that I'm giving you to get a cash, get a discount to get cash. The Mishnah says I'm giving to you because that is the true rate. So that can't be pshat in the Mishnah, in the wording of the Mishnah. However, the din that Abayah says is indeed that way.